Good. Very, very warm welcome, everybody. And so lovely to see you again. Very good. I was dreading doing this one. So what I thought would be, we're going to do something slightly different this evening. We're going to start, we haven't done this for a while, so we're going to start with some gentle, mindful movement. And then we'll move into Julia, who's very kindly going to read the advice and query for us. And then I've got a few short thoughts, and then we'll do a mindfulness exercise before we move into breakout rooms. So it'll look a little bit like that. So just sort of to support our sort of neurovagal system, so we can come into presence. So in fact, you can stand, or if you prefer to sit, that's fine. I'm going to stand. And just going to lead you through some gentle movement to bring us into presence, bring us into stillness. So, I mean, Quakers don't often, seek stillness, certainly in meeting. It's all in sitting, isn't it? But we're invited to find ways into stillness in everyday life. So, you know, when we're walking or standing or lying down, whatever we're doing, to find our way into stillness. So that kind of inner center, centering down, finding almost like letting your attention come right back to your spine. So I think often our fight, flight, our nervousness can come in the front of our body and we can want to protect. I often notice that when I'm really in that sense of connection, I'm more in my back. So allowing yourself to sort of come into your back, you might explore just shifting your weight, feeling your feet, moving your feet forward, so your toes, sort of taking your weight a little bit and then rocking back onto your heels, and letting almost like the roots of a tree, this beautiful tree, this standing being, and it's rooted really deep in the earth through the soles of your feet. Good, and then try just going circles the other way. So your toes are taking and the sides of your feet and then your heels. And it really doesn't matter if you topple, it's okay. You can see just how far you can go. Good, and when you're ready, just find a center place with your feet a little bit apart. And we're just going to let our arms float up as if we've got two kind of balloons in our hands, and let them just float up. Bring the whole of your life, and then like a chi shower, letting the rain come down under the ordering of the Spirit of Christ. Good. So you're like, almost like you're pressing your hands through water, giving yourself a nice chi shower. You can bend your knees if you like. So bring the whole of your life. You can stretch as much as you like under the ordering of the Spirit of Christ. You can do it as fast or as slow as you like. Nice breath in. Bring the whole of your life under the ordering of the Spirit of Christ. Letting your attention still be in your back body, bringing your whole of your life under the ordering of the Spirit of Christ. Good, good. I'm going to just invite you just to give yourself a little tapping or a little bit of rubbing. And you can do the same in the small of your back, just in little circles in the small of your back. Give yourself some energy. Good. Oh, thank you, friends. Lovely to do that with you. And when you're ready, you can come back to sitting. And I invite you, if you want to put on the closed captions, if that helps you. I know they don't always do great at translating sound into words, but if that helps, do use the closed captions, the show captions button. All right, I'm going to hand over to Julia now to read Advices and Queries 23.
Good evening, everybody. So I'm going to read the query twice and just allow a bit of time to hold some of the thoughts in your mind as we go through. Number 23. Marriage has always been regarded by friends as a religious commitment, rather than merely civil contract. Both partners should offer, with God's help, an intention to cherish one another for life. Remember that happiness depends on an understanding, and steadfast love on both sides. In times of difficulty, remind yourself of the value of prayer, of perseverance, and a sense of humour. Just going to read that once more. So marriage has always been regarded by friends as a religious commitment rather than a civil contract. Both partners should offer, with God's help, an intention to cherish one another for life. Remember that happiness depends on an understanding and steadfast love on both sides. In times of difficulty, remind yourself of the value of prayer, of perseverance, and of a sense of humour.
Thank you so much. Reading that so beautifully. Yeah, so dear friends, you know, full disclosure, when we first embarked on this journey, I had been, that was over 2 years, 2.5 years ago, I had been secretly hoping that it would peter out before we got to this one, or someone else would take it, or I would fall under a bus or something, you know, anything to not talk about this one. And preparing over the last month, it's been like going to a biscuit tin or something and finding nothing in there. Or not even that, you know, going to the biscuit tin and finding this moldy, slimy something. You know, so I turned to friends and I just want to really thank Julia here and Mo and Gregory for being such wonderful sounding boards and sharing their thoughts. Really, really has helped this exploration. So although I'm reading the prepared ministry, you know, it's been, lots of people have fed into it. So thank you. So marriage is a religious commitment, and religio is from the Latin to rebind, reconnect. And a marriage connects, binds two people, but not just to each other, in some way to something, you know, bigger than just them. And there it is, it's witnessed by everyone in the meeting, every man, woman and child signed my marriage certificate as we promised, with God's help, to be loving and faithful to each other. So connected, yeah, to each other, connected to every witness there, and connected to God and our meeting, yeah, a religious commitment, reconnect. And when preparing for this, I was reading about communication and Oren J. Sofer's wonderful book, Say What You Mean. It reminded me of years I spent in Guildford Meeting learning about nonviolent communication. And I just it was really about trying to break long-held communication habits to support understanding and relationship. So if you haven't come across, Nonviolent Communication, Marshall Rosenberg, or Say What You Mean, which really sort of takes Rosenberg's ideas and puts it in the sort of mindfulness context, look into that. They're wonderful. And I've been looking at Brené Brown's amazing TED Talk about shame and failure and vulnerability. If you haven't looked about her work, I recommend her too. It is clear that we did not manage to cherish one another for life. And that's not unusual. We know that nearly 50% of marriages, end in divorce. And we did not manage to cultivate a steadfast love and understanding. And as for prayer, perseverance and humour, well, yeah, they were dead in the water. So it all looks pretty bleak, yeah, and hopeless. And I do feel the least qualified to talk about this advice. And it really seems a bit vacuous when the attempt at marriage that I undertook, failed so spectacularly. And as I say, I know it's not just me, nearly half of all marriages fail. So does that mean this advice is useless? Should it be scrapped, I wonder? Should we be writing letters? I don't know. The word that really jumps out for me in this is intention. Intention to love each other. In the Buddhist tradition, a lot of store is set by our intentions. And when sitting to meditate, the invitation is to set the intention to be awake, mindful, kind and curious in heart and mind. So in Oren J. Sofer's book, The Say What You Mean, he gives four ingredients for mindful communication. And the most important, he says, is to set the intention. To set the intention. You're intending to understand this person, to come from curiosity and a genuine desire to understand them. And we set the intention, and like many things in life, we may fail, which is vulnerable and scary. The intention to be steadfast and loving, right, crashes against the wall of judgment and blame and unmet needs. So in a moment, I'd like to invite us to do a short exercise to explore one of the big blocks to our intention. Yeah, this intention to cherish one another. And that is our judging mind. And this exercise comes from Tara Brach's work on letting go. And she introduces three steps. And it's very similar to what we've done here before in our experiment with light and rain. So it won't be new for you, but I'll just take you through the steps. The first step is to take heed of our thoughts, to be heedful. What am I thinking right now? Yeah, maybe I'm noticing that I'm uncomfortable, that I'm not in, what's that expression Quakers have? Not in union, is that right? I haven't quite got it right. That we're out of step, right, with this situation or this person. I'll give you an example of that from this week where I was activated by a memory of something someone said to me months and months ago. I noticed that I was having a thought about this person. He shouldn't have said that thing to me. And there it is, that should. That declares to the universe that it shouldn't be this way, shouldn't be the way that it is. I'm just going to pause here and check, are we all on mute? Just so that I know that sometimes if we aren't, that can affect people's ability to hear. Diana, let's see if I can mute you. Good. All right, that's good. Thank you. It's all right, Diana, I've muted you. Okay. Good. Hopefully we'll be okay. So, yes, this thing about should, yeah, and this feeling that we can't be with the situation as it is. And Alan Watts puts it really beautifully. He says it's like looking at a cloud and saying, that cloud shouldn't be like that. Yeah, or looking at a wave and saying that wave shouldn't be like that, it should be like this. And these are aspects of the universe, and they are just as they are. And wishing, the wishing in me for it to be different, creates all this suffering. Okay, we can spend decades wishing for somebody to be different. Believe me, I've done it. And that is the definition of discontent and suffering. Wanting it to be different from how it is. So step one, to see the thought, the should, the judgment, notice how it is making you suffer. And maybe you can sense the desire that you don't want to hold on to this for the rest of your life. Yeah, if this was the last time you ever saw this person, do you really still want to be holding this thing in your heart? You might notice that desire, I'd like to let it go. So noticing judgment, there's the judging. I really would like to let go. And I suppose the step to letting go, step two, is to come into the body, to move out of this thinking, judging mind and settle into what the body knows. For me, in this situation that I was describing, step two brought me to a feeling of grief, a constriction in the heart and throat and a sense of loneliness. So step one, notice the thought. Step two, come into the body. And then step three is to hold it with love and compassion. Or as we Quakers might say, hold it in the light. So I allow an image of a loving being to speak to me, you know, words of love and kindness. So going to pause there, friends, and we'll have a go at this exercise. I think that's probably the time to do it. Yes, we'll pause here. So I'm going to invite you just to be comfortable, perhaps feel your sort of soles of your feet on the floor again, and perhaps take a slightly deeper breath. I invite you to close your eyes, let your attention go inwards, perhaps let your attention come back to your spine or the back of your skull. Grounded. Perhaps on the next breath you might think greeted by all the warmth in this Zoom room, the care for each other. We're not alone on this journey. Grounded. And greeted. Gathered. I love the way Quakers talk about a gathered meeting. Perhaps that sense of being gathered together as though held in some loving arms. Grounded, softening the tummy, the face, the legs. Greeted. You're here. You made it. You're really here in this moment. Taking each breath personally. And gathered. So for step one, I'm going to invite you to bring to mind an ouch moment, okay? So something someone said or did, and your needs weren't met in some way. Just bring that, let that scenario, that story come up. Perhaps you notice the thought that's accompanying that story. They should have known that that would hurt me, or they should have not said that, or they should. Something like that. Just let the story come up. And it doesn't have to be high definition, but if you've got a rough sense of it, and when you're ready, come into your body. Just check out what it feels like to have this thought about this person. Curious. And because we're such good Quakers, we quite often think, I shouldn't be angry. I shouldn't be feeling this thing. Notice that story. Judging. What's that like? You notice how that feels in the body. Let it all be held in this loving kindness, this love. You can imagine, if you like, a very dear friend or a really beautiful being might be saying some words to you. I love you. I care for you. I'm here for you. Thank you, friends. I invite you to open your eyes. Come back together. And those steps, they can be done as, you know, recently I've been needing to do them several times a day. What am I thinking? How does it feel in the body? Can I hold this with kindness? Oh, what am I thinking? Oh, how does it feel in the body? Can I hold this with kindness? So I'm very grateful to Mo for sending me this beautiful quote by Thich Nhat Hanh. And he talks about, you know, if you love someone, you have to be fully present for him or her. If you love someone, you have to be fully present. So I think when we practice centering down, our daily practice of centering down, we're practicing presence. And that's got to be so helpful when we're at the coalface dealing with something, some conflict or something difficult in relationship with someone. And the other wonderful thing Thich Nhat Hanh suggests is, you know, if you can, I don't know, lay down the armor enough to say, My darling, I am suffering. Please help. My darling, I am suffering. Please help. And if you think about this exercise, I think we've done it before, where you clench your fist. Yeah, we're holding on to this belief that, you know, I shouldn't be feeling this thing, or they shouldn't have done that thing. And it's like having a clenched fist. You're holding on to something that means that the world is not the way it actually is. Yeah, we're not in truth. We're not really dealing with truth. And what? You can just practice it now. Just see what it's like when you really clench your fist. And then, yeah, another minute. It's tiring. What happens if you just let go? Let go. What? You might notice what's available to you then. What does your hand do? In nonviolent communication, it offers ways to have conversations that support our intention to cherish and not blame. And that's done through making an observation and then getting in touch with a feeling and making a request. For example, my darling, when I don't know where you are, my texts aren't answered, I feel worried. Would you be willing to text me if you aren't coming back in the evening? You know, there are lots of phrases offered in non-violent communication and in the Say What You Mean book, which support this. The one I use a lot at the moment is, you know, the story I have going in my head is, the story I have going on in my head is. In Dr. Tori, if you've come across Dr. Tori Olds, OLDS, she's got some wonderful YouTube short talks. And she looks at what makes for successful therapy. And I know here we have more than one therapist, so I'd be interested to know, maybe you would disagree with this, but she says one of the biggest indicators is if there is a clear intention. Clear intention. For example, I really want to tackle my addiction to food or shopping or drink or anxiety, whatever your addiction is, you know. So here, the intention to cherish one another could almost be set at the start of every conversation. It's the same in teaching. You know, if the clearer I am on the intention behind the lesson, I think the higher the chance the children will understand the lesson. And in talking this through with a friend, you know, we started to wonder what the intention was behind meetings for worship. Yeah, could it be the same, to cherish one another? Is that the sand tray for what we do in the rest of the week? We practice it, cherishing each other, working with our judging minds, working with coming back to presence, and working with all the blockages that stop us from being present to this person who's right here with me. You know, if you love someone, you have to be fully present for him or her. That's what Thich Nhat Hanh says. My darling, I'm suffering. Please help. And I also wonder whether understanding is a spiritual practice like discernment. We cultivate this, don't we, in our daily practice at coming into stillness. We move into stillness and in that ability to steady this inner clamour. You know, if we can do that, then we can hopefully listen to our hearts and to the heart of others. It's like lifting a thick curtain of conditioned responses or habits of mind. Pipa Chodron says, you are the blue sky. Everything else is just clouds. So we're practicing noticing the clouds, remembering we aren't those clouds. They're just clouds, just weather passing by. So our centering down practice is a way to notice the clouds, be heedful of them, come back to the blue sky. So when our friend or partner or child is crying out, either in their words or behaviour, from a place of dysregulation and pain, we can notice it. We practice doing it with our own hearts. Listening when our own hearts say, my darling, please help me. I'm suffering. And we can perhaps see that then in our out there. So to offer the intention to understand, which literally means to stand under. It takes a little bit of humility, doesn't it? To stand under, to have that beginner's mind, be curious and open. I just finished with a story, it happened recently at school, of a child who I'll call here Jack. And I came back from my lunch and Jack had barricaded himself in my music cupboard. And there were a couple of adults with him trying to soothe and kindly coax him out. But it wasn't until, I'm very ashamed to say, much later, that it dawned on me that no one, including me, had sought to understand what Jack was feeling. Sounds incredible to say now, but there'd been all kinds of diagnoses. Oh, he's upset because of dot, dot, dot. But no attempt to listen to him and understand him. And this can happen in our close relationships too. We jump to judge or doctor. We come up with a prescription or a diagnosis. We think we have a grasp of what their intentions are, what's behind someone's behaviour. But the holy thing, yeah, it's that wonderful quote. Gregory Boyle says, yeah, what if holiness was a contact sport and we're meant to bump into things? Bumping into it. We stop. We bumped into this and we're curious. What's going on here? What's up? We seek to understand, to stand under. I've probably said enough. I'll stop there. And yeah, perhaps to, let's come back to seeing you all. Good. We're going to move into breakout rooms to practice this thing of understanding each other, listening from the heart, listening from with a desire to understand. So this is our sand tray where we practice. And the prompt this evening is, what makes a good breakout room? What makes a good breakout room experience for you? What does it for you? What hits the sweet spot? What do you enjoy most in breakout rooms? It could be this breakout room in this group or in any other group. What makes a good breakout room? And I'm hoping to learn from you what we can do, how we can do breakout rooms better and enjoy the process more. But I'm hoping that it will also be of interest and shed some light on other parts of our lives as well, I hope. So that's the prompt, what makes a good experience. We're going to be in breakout rooms for 10 minutes. At 2:15, we're going to come back and we'll talk about anything to do with the exercise we shared or Advices and Careers 23, God help us, as we could talk about that and or anything else that came up in the breakout room.